Hey, you guys, it's Christine Blackburn with Storyworthy, and I just want to give everybody a big shout out saying thank you so much for listening to the show, for subscribing on iTunes, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy.
Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Guess what? Guess who's here? Kirk Fox on Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Ridge Community Church on 108th Street in Greenfield, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Where they teach hugging without hurting.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
I didn't say it was a bad thing. They actually have a podcast, and one of their episodes is entitled How to Hug a Grinch, Loving the People Who Steal Your Joy.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I don't think I would hug them.
Well, perhaps you're not Christian enough. Yeah. You turn the other cheek.
Honest, I'm not Christian at all. I'll tell you the truth.
That would not be enough then. That would be a complete lack of enough.
All right, you guys.
You were not Christian at all.
Looks like we're back in Wisconsin because Honest loves being here. But we're here because our guest tonight, Kirk Fox, brings forth the topic, Amma the Hugging Saint.
Yes.
So we're talking
about, not Alma.
No, Amma. We're talking about hugging. And a lot of people do use hugging as therapy.
They do. It's a big thing, apparently. Suddenly, people are hugging all over the place.
You know, I was talking to my friend Debbie the other day, and she said she was doing something called, I think it was called Watsu. And I said, what's that? And she said, it's when you get in a pool and let somebody hold you.
Okay.
Not like a lover, like a like a person who just holds you, and I think makes you feel like you're back in the womb.
Right. Yeah, I have a better way to feel like I'm back in the womb. I like to enter a womb.
Oh.
It's, oh. Dirty. Oh, I'm sorry. What I'm saying is that's why men always want to return. So someone holds you in the water.
I don't know, but the point is the hugging saint. This made me look it up. I looked up Amma the Hugging Saint.
Here's
what I learned. She is a Hindu spiritual leader.
Okay.
She's only like 55, 58. She's not that old, but she's like a guru, and she is revered as like a saint by her followers.
That's very specific. It's all about hugging.
Well, that's what happens, right? So first of all, this woman has a network of charity organizations, and she provides food and housing and education. I mean, she's done a lot of good work. What have you done lately, Hannes?
I've made fun of people who do charitable work.
This is my point. But she's really an amazing person. But what happens is she takes these tours. She's got like 200, 250 people go out with her on these tours.
Yeah.
And they kind of set up the line waiting for people to come and hug her, apparently. So they, like, I'm just going to read from what I read, okay?
Yeah.
They prepare people for the hugs that the Amma's going to hug them. So some, they take those that are in line by the shoulders and they position them on their knees. Sounds dirty. while other people that are helping her out, they make sure that everybody removes their glasses, while still others sit wrapping Hershey Kisses in rose petals, which Amma then hands out after every hug.
Oddly enough, the only thing I have a problem with is removing Hershey Kisses from their original foil packaging. I don't want anyone touching my food.
Now, two people volunteer for the job known as Stargazer, a role in which you sit at Amma's feet and stare at her raptly. This is one of the most prized jobs on the tour.
Oh, I can do that. That's easy. Can I use my cell phone while I'm staring at her?
So anyway, basically, you come up and she hugs you. They say that you might see a vision. People bring her gifts. And then it says that people that work for her will then take the gifts from Amma, and they have the job of collecting the bouquets and baskets and gifts and then running them back to the table out front where they're resold throughout the day to other people that are buying Amma gifts.
Huh.
So, I don't know. The thing that they say about Amma is that she provides you with a sense of that you're the only one that matters. It's like what a politician can do to you. You know, they look at you and you think like you're the only one that matters.
Yeah, just go see Bill Clinton. You don't need to see Amma the Hugging Saint.
I would sleep with him in a minute. You know that, right?
I know that you would. I know that any woman in America would. And frankly, if he asked me for a handy, I think he's done enough for America where I'd have no choice.
Here's what she says. The energy.
I did not have sexual relations with Hannes Finney.
The energy and euphoria that they're feeling is actually their own. And all this love that people are pouring onto Amma, they think they're feeling Amma's love, but they're actually just feeling their own love projected back to them. What do you think of that?
I think that that's anything that makes you feel good is really about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's you know, a television show or a person or a religion or a song, it's like, it's all from you.
I think so too. And I think it's kind of, it's pretty refreshing, actually. I don't know. I kind of like the whole idea of this. But listen to this. This is Amma talking. She says, spirituality is not a form of escapism. It is courage. The dog chews on a dry bone, thinking that it's getting flesh. But in reality, the taste it is relishing is coming from the lacerations inflicted by the bone upon its own gums.
Okay, she lost me on that one.
Well, but she's saying...
She's saying you're tasting your own flesh.
Yeah, you can't get anything out of the bone anymore. There's nothing in there. But what's happening is you're literally...
But is this supposed to be a positive?
You're cutting yourself.
See, that doesn't sound positive to me. That sounds negative.
I don't know. I need a hug.
Too deep? Is it too deep?
I need a hug.
Did we jump... Yeah, I know, exactly.
Let's get Kirk Fox in here. Let's hear what he has to say.
Let's get somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about, not us.
All right, you guys, before Kirk comes on and tells his story, I did want to remind you that if you'd like to support Storyworthy, that would be great. Here's what you can do.
Oh, well, you can tell your friends. Number one, tell your friends you like the show. Tell them through Twitter. Tell them through Facebook. Tell them through what I like to call actual communication of speaking to people. I know the kids today, they don't go for that kind of thing.
It goes like this. What'd you do this morning, Hannes?
I was listening to Storyworthy while cleaning the toilet. And I tell you, it made that horrible job go by so quickly.
And you know what's so nice about Storyworthy? You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere.
And there's over 500 million episodes for you to choose from.
That is not true.
No, there's over 300 episodes
for
you to choose from.
There are several
episodes. I'm saying there's a lot of episodes.
All right, you guys. You can find us over at StoryworthyPodcast.com and, of course, at Storyworthy on Instagram and Twitter. Wherever you are, folks, stick around because Kirk Fox is on his way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have comedian and actor Dennis Gubbins.
And I'll be talking about the lady I saved in the jungle in time.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
Is the Uvan, and you're all, you're listening to Storyworthy.
This is still Kirk Fox, and hopefully you're still listening to Storyworthy. It's getting good.
And we're back. We've left the Ridge Community Church, and we've gone to Ma Fisher's, my favorite diner, because the kind of hug I like is a nice Euro made by Ma Fisher in the east side of Milwaukee. That's what I like. That makes me happy. And it's not my flesh I'm tasting.
No, it's
the actual flesh
that's
inside the Euro.
All right, you guys. Kirk Fox is here right now. He's a comedian and an actor, and he has a brand new show on right now on CBS. It's called Rush Hour. Have you seen this?
I have not. I assume it's based on the movie series.
It is. Here's the thing with Kirk Fox. Not only is he an actor and a comedian, he's also a tennis player. And as you know, Hannes, I play tennis.
You are the tennis maven.
5 to 6 days a week. And we've only ever had one other tennis player in here by the name of Michael Costa.
Michael's a great tennis player.
He's a great
actual professional tennis player.
Well, and he told us a great story about his professional tennis career. So I'd like to hear more about your tennis career. And I do know that, Kirk Fox, you have been in a lot of movies.
I have.
A lot of the movies you've been in because you've been kind of helping out the directors or whoever, a producer on set. Who's working on a movie?
I think just about every movie I've ever gotten was because of tennis.
Well, it's interesting.
I even had a talk show a couple years ago because I was playing tennis with Dr. Phil.
Yeah, and so then they start chatting with you, and then you become friends.
Well, we become friends before they give me the job. But it takes a long time to win their heart enough to get a job.
Right. But a lot of times I think that getting jobs in Hollywood, it seems to be like, who do I want to spend 12 hours a day with? And Kirk Fox, you seem like a nice guy. Why don't you come be on my movie?
I don't know. Do you think you could handle 12 hours with me?
I'm working
you
on
guys, you guys are having,
we're 12
you guys
minutes
are
now.
Having, you guys are having trouble with 12 minutes. I never said it would be easy. It's not that I don't want to be here. I just have trouble being anywhere, but I'm doing better at it.
Well, listen, I'm thrilled you're here. And I want folks to know that you are frequently here at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles. And you can find you at KirkFox.com and also on Twitter at KirkFox. All right, you guys, one more time for Kirk Fox.
Woo! Cheers and applause.
Man, it's crazy. I will tell you my story of how I met Amma, the hugging saint. It was a few years ago, and there was a girl that was on her way to get a hug from Amma. And as you say, Amma is a guru, something. She's from India. They say she has a direct link to God, which means that Amma's basically tech support. That's what I think Amma is, tech support, for sure. So I said, how long is this hug going to take? And she said it would be quick. And I said, okay, I'll come with you. Let me get a hug from Amma. So we went to the airport Hilton where the hugging was supposed to take place. And I got there and I dropped my car off at the parking attendant. I said, do you validate? And he said, yes, make sure you validate. I said, good. I'm just going in to get a hug. So I went to the airport Hilton. I said, where is this going to happen? They directed me to a couple doors, and I opened the doors, and there was 10,000 people. And we were the last two to enter this. So we went in there. There was 10,000 people, and they were all sitting on the floor. They all had their shoes off. So that was 20,000 feet immediately, and it was awful. Now, they sat us down immediately. She wasn't out yet, and we took our shoes off. We had to. And then they passed out these little vials of holy water, and I actually drank mine. I just drank it. And I guess you were supposed to put a drop in a gallon of water. It was supposed to last you for years. So when I drank this vial, everyone freaked out in the place. Within 100 people saw me drink it, and they went crazy. And they said, you're not supposed to drink that. So they gave me another vial of holy water. And I put it in my shoe, and it spilled. But I ignored it. I just let it happen. So then I sat there. And I'll tell you one thing. I've never told this story, so I'm remembering it as we go. Just so. So if my pauses are frightening, it's just because I'm remembering. So Amma came out, and Amma weighs 500 pounds. She's a very big woman. And they put her up on her little pedestal, and people stood, and we started moving. The line started moving. And after about 5 hours, I'd only moved a few feet. To the point where I said, could we maybe just do a group hug? Can we maybe just get this over with? And they said, no, you have to wait for your hug. And then another 2 hours, I'd moved very slowly, and people were starting to pass me. And I said, why do these people get to pass me? And they said, you know, they either have cancer or Down syndrome. And I said, I don't have cancer, but you know, how Downs do you have to be? Because I feel I'm close. I've been here 8 hours. There's been no movement. Finally, at about 10 hours, I realized that I'm almost up to Amma. So this quick little hug that I thought was going to be, I'm at 10 hours now. And I realize now she's hugged over 9,000 people. And there's no Purell anywhere. And I'm very anal. I'm about cleanliness. I won't even get a lap dance unless the stripper has begun her shift immediately. I need to be the first. So finally, I get up there. And the guy, there's a lot of security. It's a racket. They say, where's your offering? Do you have anything to offer her? I said, well, go buy a carnation. So I had to go buy a carnation. So everyone had to give Amma a carnation. So that's 10,000 people all buying a $10 carnation. So there's money exchanging hands. And I finally got up to Amma. And they said, do you have anything you need blessed? You get anything you want blessed. And I just had the parking validation. And I said, yeah, can you guys validate? Can you just bless this? And they said, no. So I knew I was going to be out easily $35 or $40 for parking. And then I finally got up to Amma. I was the last one, 10,000. And she pulled out the Hershey Kiss, completely melted. They don't take it out of the tinfoil.
Oh, okay.
And she handed me this Hershey Kiss. And then she went in for a hug. But she was so sweaty that I just held my fist up to pound it out. I just wanted to do a fist bump. I figured that would suffice. But she pulled me in close and whispered some evil words in my ear. I don't know what it was, but it kind of tweaked my neck. And that was it. Parking was $40. I'd never felt that blessed. But that was my day with Amma.
Who told you to go see
Just
her?
Some girl that, you know, if you want to be close to someone, sometimes you have to do what they want.
Don't I know it?
But so where was she by the time you get up there? Is she still there?
She kind of moved off to be with some of her people. She maybe went up
did she
closer.
Get, she got hugged though,
probably
as well.
Oh yeah, everyone got hugged. I was just
what
the last.
What did she say to you? She didn't whisper evil things.
It
what
was Indian.
Say? Oh, I see. So you don't know what she said.
It wasn't. It may have been, I loved you in Parks and Rec.
It was probably Indian for we do not validate.
Yeah, it may have been something. But that was my Amma day. It's an interesting, and the shoe that I spilled the holy water in, it always seemed to move a little quicker.
Well,
than my other shoe.
But that might just be because the water, the soaking might have ripped up the sole or something.
Maybe.
But so what was the idea of that, the vial of water? Is that like she blesses a
of
bunch
course.
Of water and then they put
of
it in
course.
The vials and then they sell the bottles?
There's no way to make sense of any of this. It's just people feel better after they do it.
Sure, sure. Have you ever been to the Vatican, the Sistine Chapel? Because that sort of stuff, I felt
it's
that,
all the same.
I felt that racket going on over there. There was a little stand outside the Vatican selling the Pope on a rope. It was like soap on a rope, but it was in the shape of a Pope's head. Pope on the rope soap.
It's all the same. It's just finding ways to people to be comfortable and think they're getting some help. That's all
we're doing
in life.
When you went to see her, were you looking at it very cynically, or you didn't even care?
I'm still not looking. I look at nothing cynically. I looked at it as an experience, just like today.
Yeah.
It's important for me to leave the house.
Yeah, do something.
To try and connect, be present, deal with anxiety. Breathe through it. Try and love.
Because here's what I know about you, Kirk Fox, because I've listened to some of the podcasts that you've been on. I know you grew up in Pacific Beach, and I know that your dad was a super interesting fellow, and he seemed like quite a philosopher in his own right.
My dad was magic.
And so can you tell us a little bit about him?
I can.
Bamboo Ben?
Bamboo Ben. Yeah. He was a handyman down in San Diego. He was my dad. He raised five kids with my mama. But the best thing about my dad is when he was 65 years old, he was trudging in the deep sand down in South Mission Beach, which he would do every morning.
And the deep sand is like the stuff
closer to the boardwalk.
It's harder to walk through.
Yeah.
Right up by the board.
And he would trudge in the deep sand every day with a bamboo stick. That's why they called him Bamboo Ben. And when he was about 65, he was trudging. And then suddenly, his heart stopped while he was trudging. And he took a deep breath. His heart kind of stopped. And with his last breath, he did not know why, but he said, Raya. and his heart began to beat again, and he trudged on. So from that day on, whenever he felt tired or lethargic, always open finger, and people began to trudge with him. So for the next 20 years, he would trudge. There would be hundreds of people following him. Everyone that would greet him with a rousing Raya. When he died, I put that there. And then finally, one day I said, what's Raya? And he said, it's air backwards. It's the first thing we take in when we're born, and it's the last thing we let go of when we die. Mm-hmm. So my dad was special, Bamboo Ben.
So I think he sounds like a bit of a guru.
We all are, if you want to be. No,
I know, but I'm just saying.
Of course he is.
You go to this Ama, you're acting like it just came out of the blue. It didn't just come out of the blue.
Of course it did.
You've got it in you.
Well,
to be wanting to know more information. You see what your dad had done and what he accomplished.
I get my information internally. I went to Ama for no other reason than to get laid. It's a simple thing. Don't make more of Ama. Ama was just
a
day in my life.
Well, I'm just trying to make the correlation between your father having a following. Okay, you tell me everybody has a father who has 300 people walking through the deep sand with him every day?
Of course not. I'm just talking about
mine. He's a very special man.
Of course he is.
I just think it's an interesting, there's a little twist there, I think.
Of course.
And by the way, when I hear Raya, I do feel you feel better after you say that.
Always through the nose.
I do feel good about that.
You should. It energizes you. It's good to do. I do it.
I've heard you talk on a couple of podcasts, and what I find so beautiful about your life is that your parents had such a beautiful love story. They had an amazing relationship.
They had a good meeting.
And a lot of times when you run into comedians, they grew up not so happy, not such a good place. A lot of times not with both parents, or at least not parents present and not parents happy. You got very fortunate and grew up with very loving parents.
They loved me. They seemed to be happy.
The youngest of five.
Looking back, were they? Who knows if they truly were?
Yeah.
I didn't see a lot of laughter.
What do your siblings do? What are their life missions?
I don't really know what they all do.
Do they live in San Diego still?
Yes.
All of them?
Yeah, I have a brother with a construction company. I think another brother is in construction. Sister business. You know, business. They're all doing their thing. I don't really know much about anything. I try not to know too much.
Here's something I know about you. You got a pet.
It almost feels like an inquisition.
The red curtain's not helping.
You have a pet peeve for door dings.
Not really. If there's one in there,
you said that like there's somebody who has a fetish for door dings.
No,
like, you know what I love? When I come out and someone's damaged my car. That's freaking awesome.
I have some now that I seem to not care about. I got a new car that I wanted to protect for a little while.
And so when you try to protect the car, do you try to park off like a little bit? Or do you know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of times if people don't want their car dinged up, they'll park slightly remote.
It's so funny how...
Is that a good idea?
No, but it's just funny. I mean, is that something I talked about with Eddie Pepitone?
I think I did listen to you talk to Eddie Pepitone.
I mean, these things you bring up, they were in the moment back then. No one wants a door ding. I don't give a shit. I park anywhere now.
When I have a guest on the show, if I don't know them, I mean, I've seen you do stand up many times, but if I don't know you, and so I'll listen to you on other shows. And one of my go to shows is always Eddie Pepitone because I like him.
I love Eddie.
So do I. So I listen to him. Now you worked with
but that was a day the car was fairly new, so I was trying to park somewhere.
I can understand
I'm not going to get hit. But I had a Honda Civic for so many years that I'd park on a train track. But then eventually the car died and I got a new car.
So you'd say you're not a car guy.
I don't give a shit about anything.
What did you buy? What kind of car did you just buy?
An Audi S5 car, V8.
Wow.
It's a monster.
Seriously?
Sure.
Wow, fun.
So I went from the slowest car in the world to the fastest.
I was going to say, at a stoplight, you must just take off.
If I want to, if gas wasn't so expensive.
I think it's actually kind of low right now.
I liked it when it was free. I liked it when it was a dollar in the 30s when I was really into driving.
All right, so here's something I have to...
Oh, shit.
I want to ask you about. That show, The Test, that you worked on. You did 150 one of these shows.
I think I did.
And you guys would do a variety of tests with guests, like polygraph tests and DNA tests. It's kind of serious, the show.
It was serious.
I mean, it was all about heart, and it was about giving, and it was about helping people.
You try and help them, but they were all real people. It was definitely not what I thought it was going to be.
What did you go in for?
Well, I was hoping there'd be... I didn't go in for anything. They just gave it to me.
Okay.
I was playing tennis with Dr. Phil.
I see.
And his son was the executive producer, and... Wow. They thought it might be a good fit for me. They put me in a suit. I was pretty good with a teleprompter. And I was a good listener, and I tried to nudge people in the right direction, but it wasn't what I wanted to do.
Did you enjoy doing it?
I did not enjoy it.
It was a job.
It was a job. It felt very similar to this, where there's two people on each side of me, and I'm trying to stay present and focused. But I worked through it just like this. This had a very tricky start.
Yeah.
But as in life, you breathe through it.
Yeah.
And then you realize there's no threat.
There's no threat.
True, but we all create our own battles.
Yeah. I also know that you often play a cop. You play a cop a lot.
I play some cops, but I mainly play pedophiles and sex offenders.
Yeah. Because they like a guy that kind of looks normal, but you could go off.
I'm pretty off.
Yeah.
I don't think I look that normal. They like my mustache. I play a detective now on Rush Hour.
Yeah.
But I played Sewage Joe on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, good for you. That was fun.
I like cops. I think I'm a cop at heart.
Here's the thing with a policeman. You could be a cop at any age. Did you know that, Hannes? Like,
as an actor?
No. Yeah, but a person in life. Like, I could... go to school.
Eventually there's a cutoff. They like
you
to be
able to. Yeah, I can't imagine they're hiring
place.
A lot of 50-year-old cops. That seems bad policy.
Well, I'd be behind the desk, sure. I wouldn't be, you know,
but
out
what
there.
Good is being a cop if you're not out there shooting?
And
chasing.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I'd still like to be a cop. I applied to the FBI.
You did?
I did.
Really? And what happened?
Clearly, it didn't happen.
No, but what happened? How long was the process? Because I would think that would be a very long,
intense
process.
There is. Eventually, they thought I was just...
fucking around.
No, wanting to write a script. At the time I was an actor, they just said, why would you want to do this?
So they somebody sat down with you and they...
Oh, I sat down with a lot of people. I went through a lot of the phases.
I think it's fascinating.
I'd be a good FBI. I'm smart. They like that.
They go way into
the
background.
Irritable. I think I'd be good.
I wonder how far into your background they go.
To birth.
I can't imagine they wouldn't be very.
They don't stop.
Yeah. Yeah, they go into your conception.
Like you said, they'll go all the way to the womb.
Yeah. They're going to,
So listen, I know you've traveled around and done a lot of comedy festivals. Do you enjoy doing those?
I haven't
so
done
much?
That many comedy festivals.
But I know you I'm going to have to. Aspen?
I did, but that may have been my only festival.
In Edinburgh?
That was right after that. So
if you're going to do one, that's the one to do. I've heard nothing but great things about that.
Yeah.
I don't travel much to do comedy. I don't really like to go anywhere. This was a drive to me.
In Hollywood here?
Anywhere.
No, I hear what you're saying. I personally...
I don't like to go outside of 3 miles.
Yeah, I have no interest.
I have some problems.
I tell people 2 hours of L.A. because I do like to go to the mountains. So I tell people I like the 2-hour radius. That's about
That's
it.
Good.
So I like a 3 mile.
3 mile.
3 mile radius.
I shot on Paramount. I shot.
That's perfect.
They originally, TMZ was going to be the 3 mile zone. It didn't have enough material.
Exactly.
So they expanded
about
up to
7. They had to get out to Malibu. And then I shot Rush Hour. We shot at Warner Brothers, Parks and Rec over at CBS Radford. I got a girl up in Laurel Canyon. I'm within 3 miles.
So
comedy store.
Right here.
I like that.
Yeah. Right in the basin, just over the hill.
I should probably venture out further.
No, I'm with
you. You keep the radius as small as humanly possible.
No, I agree with that. I know your manager is Barry Katz. He just did our show, by the way. He just did Storyworthy. And he says, be present, be undeniable. Of course, we know those things. So is he the one that sends you out on jobs, the acting jobs, or is that more from your agent?
I don't have an agent, and I get the jobs.
Interesting.
Through tennis.
Where's your home club here in L.A.? Do you have like a club you go to?
Comedy Store.
No, I'm sorry. Tennis club. Tennis.
Just wherever my friends are.
I play at Vermont Canyon almost daily. Do you play up there?
Yeah, I like it up there.
I
up
love
in
it
Griffith
there.
Park. Yeah, I play there a lot recently.
Really? Wow, I'll look for you.
A couple days a week, I'm up there with Kevin Christie, another
are
comedian.
You? No kidding.
I sometimes play up at Dr. Phil's on the clay. I play at Toluca Lake.
He has a clay court?
Yeah.
Shit, man. Really? What's that like?
Joy. Easy on the knees.
Because it's so soft?
Just easy on the knees.
But what's the bounce like of the ball?
A little awkward.
Yeah.
Like this podcast.
Do you have to wash your clothes when you're done playing tennis on a clay court?
I try and keep the clay in there just so I can smell it.
But you have to wash those clothes.
Some people do.
You can't use them again. You can't.
You burn them.
No, you don't burn them, but you got to put them right in the laundry.
No.
Have you ever played on grass?
Yeah.
People say that's fucking fun.
Hard, fast.
Fast.
Hmm. Fast.
I went to the International Tennis
House of Pancakes?
Hall of Fame in New Hampshire.
Newport. Up in Newport?
Yeah, it was really
fascinating. I would
rather
go to the House of Pancakes, but
they've got a bunch of grass courts. Those are the only grass courts I've actually ever seen.
They're around.
You know what clay courts I've ever seen are at the Burbank Tennis Club. Burbank Tennis Center.
Yeah.
Which is right near the high school.
There's a couple hard, true courts out there in Palisades.
Yeah.
Riviera's got a couple.
Does Dr. Phil play tennis?
Every day.
Does he really? Interesting. So he has to obviously pay somebody to come over and play with him, or he has friends.
Why would he have to pay anybody?
Well, because when you have a court on your own home, seriously, I've heard this.
He plays doubles every day. Everyone wants to go play on clay.
They want to go to his house. Because I always
heard... Well, it's fun. It's a good time.
The people say
that's where the clay is.
Yeah, I see. Okay, you're right. The clay court aspect. But I was always told that if you have your own tennis court, you're not going to play as much tennis as you think because people are all at the park.
That's them. Dr. Phil plays every day.
Oh, good for, is he any good?
Yeah.
Now, as a tall guy, you have such an advantage at the net, don't you think?
No.
You tower over the fucking net.
All they do is drop it on your feet.
You're like Djokovic up there.
Nah.
What's your best shot?
I don't know. Tequila.
What's your best shot?
Tequila.
Come on.
I don't really have any.
I have a serve, and I'm just telling you, between you and I, it's really... The reason why I'm so proud of my serve is because my dad always said to me, honey, it's the only shot you have. It's the only shot you can make the decision to either be great or to not be great. And which is it going to be? And also, a Blackburn doesn't double fault. That.
Never?
No.
That's
I double faulted this morning. So there you go.
Your first double fault?
Of the year.
And the thunder crashed across the sky. That was your father a Blackburn doesn't double
fault. My second serve is so freaking lousy, man, that I'm disappointed in myself because I so don't want a double fault. My second serve, if they get...
I like how you continue telling me this emphatically as if I'm going to start caring halfway through the description. I'm not going to care.
What's your sport?
Sitting.
Nice. Is there a favorite posture you like?
Yeah, what I want to do is I want to be watching the Packers. Got my cheese head on. You
got
to lean back. You got the dog in your lap. Now you need to take the dog for a long walk so he's a little tired.
Do you have favorite balls or a favorite racket? Just tell me. Just humor me for 1 second, Kirk.
Humor you for a second? I've been humoring you since I got here.
Well, I appreciate
I just grab a tennis racket, whatever's in my hand.
Is that right?
Yeah, balls.
Lozengers. They're the best. To me.
They're shit balls,
man. There's four of them. I love four.
Yeah, but sometimes four is not as good as three. You want three good balls or four kind of good?
I want four Slozengers. That's my favorite ball.
Why?
I think there's a little bit more.
I actually thought you meant the number you had four balls in your pocket, not
Slozenger
the actual
balls.
Number four. I had no idea what you're...
Slozenger balls. No, they
come in a four-pack.
I like
how the tech support's yawning.
Is that they have a little bit more air in them. So I'm just saying, I think they get one or two extra plays at them.
That's awesome that you think that. It's a completely mistake.
Kirk Fox.
They don't have any more air in them.
I think they do. And they have extra bounce. Yeah, I think
As
they
long
do.
As you believe that.
Okay, wait a minute.
That's the same as Amma. Believe something's happening with that hug.
You're the one that went and waited in line for 10 hours.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't for Amma.
One more thing I want to ask you about, and then I'm going to let you off the hook because I know you're not comfortable. I can tell.
I am comfortable now, actually.
You were
The truth is, I'm as comfortable now as I'll ever get.
That's good.
The first 10 minutes, I wasn't.
Do you want me to rub your feet?
No.
You were married to Clint Eastwood's daughter.
For a second.
I find this fascinating. Not just because, I'm sure just a lovely person. She's very beautiful and she's talented as an actress. But I find it fascinating to just get married so off the cuff. I heard that you met her in acting class and you just went to Vegas and got married. It just seems like,
We didn't get married right away.
How long did you date?
I don't know, maybe 6 months.
A little while.
Maybe maybe I knew her for a year. We were just in Vegas, and I loved Clint Eastwood. It's not that fascinating.
Yeah.
As a man, it seems very simple.
Did you say, you know, make my wedding day or anything like that?
No.
No.
Those were too obvious.
Too obvious, yeah.
But I always say this because the last thing Clint said to me, he was like, you son of a bitch. And I was just so happy that he had called me son. Yeah. That's all I had ever wanted.
I would like to be called a son of a bitch by Clint Eastwood. Exactly. That is the thing that all men would
Tell me he's a nice guy.
He's wonderful.
I bet.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
Why did you get divorced?
Because I love Clint.
Not her.
There was not a lot of love. I didn't know what love is. I still don't know what love is.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to get married. No man wants to get married.
Aren't you engaged right now?
Yeah, but what does that mean?
A lot of people say it's the intent to marry.
Well, then I'm sure I'll marry her.
Yeah. Hannes was engaged for 7 years. He just got married.
5 years.
Nice. At some point, you have to just maybe surrender and try and accept love and maybe make a kid someday.
I tried twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I made a kid
once, so you're one for two.
Here's what I know
about. Sometimes a wedding is just a party for the girl.
I always tell people that. I always tell girls.
If you love her, you surrender, I guess.
Well, I always just say.
Doesn't mean I want to.
Have a big party. Have a big party. But nobody says you have to have a priest involved
Kevin Nealon's Black Elvis. Kevin Nealon's going to be my minister.
He's going to be your minister
nice.
The next time you get married.
Nice.
He is.
No.
When you get married.
When I get married.
What's your date? No date.
February 12th, if I make it.
Next year.
Well, February of course.
12th. Okay.
If I do.
So.
It'd be nice to commit to something.
Yeah. Well, you've got a great career going on, so obviously you're committed. Yeah, man. You show up on time. You have to, or you wouldn't be booking all these jobs. Even if you just get given them, you have to be on time. You have to do what you're told. Let me ask you something
I've worked as hard as I can not to have a career.
Let me ask you something about Clint Eastwood. I heard one time that he wears a different pair of socks every single day, brand new socks every day. Is that true?
You'd have to ask him. You can't ask me about his feet.
Well, he was your father-in-law.
You think we talked
about
socks?
Yeah, I cannot imagine he's got this information. Why would he
you
have
mean
this
information?
A different
pair of socks every day? Why would you not? I put on a different pair.
Yeah, if I had that amount of money, I think that's what I would do.
Brand new socks every day. I also heard.
Well, you didn't say that.
He travels, that he takes like his computer bag or whatever's in his hand, and that's it. And whatever he's going, when he gets there, the closet will be set up the way he wants
well,
to
that,
be.
Well, that
sounds like most
sounds,
very famous rich people in Hollywood, I'm thinking.
Well, that's obvious.
Okay, these are my dreams. I'm just, I don't know.
Nobody wants to pack.
Fresh socks every day.
In a perfect world, we never have to carry anything.
All right.
He gets on his own jet and he goes and that's where his clothes are. Carries his bag because that's where his extra socks might be.
Yeah.
In case they crash and he wants to put on a fresh pair of socks.
He's only had one pair of underwear for the past 10 years, but every day a pair of new socks. Fascinating.
I wear a different color sock every day.
Every day.
I wear one and then whatever I grab, they rarely match.
I always get all black or all white. So they're all my tennis socks.
I try not to bring race into it.
Listen, how's it going up at the Comedy Store? You have a lot of sets up there all the time, yes?
Now, you say that comment, and then you said yes.
I meant right?
I'm up there a few times a week.
Yeah. Good.
How does it go?
No, not how
they
does
laugh.
It go.
They laugh. They laugh. It's crowded up there.
It seems like comedy's really taken off again.
It's
at
true.
The Comedy Store and here at the Improv and probably the Laugh Factory.
People are showing up.
Seem to be, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, last night here at the Improv, they had these two gamers, these two kids that are basically they play video games on the stage while they're commenting on playing the game. And there was a line like wrapped around the Improv yesterday, kids getting in. Like,
crazy.
At 3 p.m.
Yeah.
I'm not a gamer.
They're not comedians. They're like gamers, but they comment.
I don't even have a TV.
Yeah. Is that right? Do you have a computer,
though? I wonder how good my life would be if I didn't have a TV. I spend way too much time watching TV.
Yeah.
I got rid of my cable 2 years ago. I don't miss that at all.
Oh, that I don't miss at all. No, cable's a complete waste of time.
I agree.
Yeah. Huh. Hey, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Whatever I need to do to get through this.
That music music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
The wheel has landed on pets. Can you believe that? Pets. I mean, if I could have chosen anything, it would not have been pets. This is going to be probably the hardest minute of my life. I mean, pets. Oh, man. In what capacity?
Any capacity. Pets. Lack of pets, love for pets, hate for pets.
How about this? This is a thought. If I can't touch your dog, don't call it a pet. The other day, I was driving, and I saw what I thought was an old man just crawling across the intersection on his hands and knees. It turned out to be a Great Dane in a business suit. So don't do that. Don't dress your dog up in clothing unless he's wanted by the police.
I completely agree.
That's very funny.
Oh my God. He had those long ears, and my buddy's like, but what about those ears? Couldn't you tell? And I'm like, no, most old people have really long ears.
Have you never had a pet, really?
I don't really have anything.
But growing up?
No.
I never had a pet growing up. I told you that.
I'm still growing up.
Yeah.
Clearly, I haven't.
What about your girlfriend? Does she have any pets? Cat?
I think there's a beagle around.
Well, that's a pet.
Is it?
Yeah. Because she feeds it and has to clean up after it.
No, it kind of
No, that's him.
It kind of just it goes where it wants, and then I believe a gardener washes the poop away.
Mm. Well, that's a good thing.
The dog eats. I think the dog knows where the food is.
By the way, this girlfriend isn't the one you're going to marry. The one that you went to see the Amma for, this isn't the girlfriend.
No, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
I don't even
remember the Amma.
I just wanted to be clear. The new girl that you're going to marry, how did you meet her?
I think at Bristol Farms.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. In the parking lot?
Valentine's. I just gave her some roses.
In the parking lot?
Of course. Well, you got to do it when you see it. I didn't think it wasn't supposed to be this long.
That's pretty bold, man.
Well, if you believe in what you're selling, it should be easy.
Did you see her in the parking lot? And then you thought, well, she's single. I'll go buy her some.
I saw her inside the store. And
you're chatting.
She's beautiful. Not a lot of chatting. It was mostly stalker, sociopath. I waited for her. I lied in wait.
You did out.
I asked her if she had a Valentine. She said no. I said, hang on. And I went and bought a dozen roses.
I think that's very romantic.
Clearly, it was backfired. No one wants to still be in any relationship.
So you don't think, how about monogamy? You think that could happen for you?
Well, I'm certainly trying.
It's happening now.
I haven't fucked anyone in this room.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I'm just saying, you know, it's tough.
It is tough. Look at you three.
And next thing you have, there's kids.
Maria's
a
maniac over there. Look at her with the judgment.
I'd like to create a kid.
Would you really?
Of course.
That's a huge thing, man.
Who cares? I need to care about something.
Yeah.
I should be a father at heart.
You think?
What? Of course. Look at me. You don't think I'd be a good dad?
Well, I just think it's a hell of a commitment.
The way I talk about my dad, don't you think I'd want some kid talking about me like that?
Yeah. So, yeah, okay.
I'd like to tell a kid about a grandfather.
Yeah. And you could be a good example. You'd be a very good example.
I've been selfish my whole life. Shouldn't I give back a little?
I don't think everybody should be a parent, no. And I have one child, and I tell a lot of people they shouldn't have any.
Yeah, but that's okay. We're talking about me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like you have a lot to give.
Clearly, you saw how great this story session was. Story worthy. I'd definitely be worthy of, you know, creating life.
Hey, listen, I like seeing
life
your name.
Is our new.
I like seeing your name on the Comedy Store sign outside.
I've never seen it
in
there.
The lights. It's been there in the lights. I've seen it.
Wow.
And then also, of course, it's on the wall. And I understand that you are responsible for getting a lot of those names up on the wall.
Yeah.
At the comedy
it's so
store.
Funny that you bring it. This is like, Kirk, this is your life.
Yeah.
When I got my name on the wall, I wanted my name up there, but there was 100 names that had to be placed there before mine. There was a back order because it was during a time when the Comedy Store was having some financial problems.
I see. Someone
has to paint them. They don't just appear.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll pay for all 100. So I wrote a check, and then they put up all the names.
That is so cool.
And now, since then, they
add continually.
Yeah, because they got the momentum, and they got some money in their coffer.
Do you ever see the person who does it, who puts the name up?
No, it's late at night.
Yeah.
No one has
Nobody
seen
Nobody knows,
that.
Yeah.
It's a ghost from Ciro's.
Someone with great penmanship.
Hey, listen, I really appreciate you coming down to the
But it was $13 a piece, so it was $1,300. I don't think
$1,300?
I don't think I've made that back in comedy.
Oh, yes, you have. You made it back on the test.
Possibly.
How often do you play tennis now, by the way?
Every day.
Is that right?
I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't
right.
Right
on. No, that's awesome.
I have a great life. Don't let my tone and attitude fool you.
I think you do have a great life. You're living the Hollywood dream, man. You're
what's
doing
left
it.
Of it.
It's here.
For
it's
sure.
Happening. It's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
And I really hope Rush Hour continues to take off.
It continues.
It takes, you know, what goes. You did 13 episodes, yeah?
I believe we did.
Well, we always need a good detective show on TV.
It's got heart, it's funny.
It's funny.
And
Bill Lawrence
got some
is
drama.
Involved, right? Bill Lawrence is the...
it's killer, producer. Man. Justin Hires and John Fu, Paige Kennedy, Amy Garcia, Wendy Malick.
Oh, wonderful.
A little bit of me. I mean, the show's awesome. I think
it's a lot of star
each
power.
Episode, it gets better and better. And I think people should watch it. BS, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock, Kirk Fox.
One more question.
Of course.
Were you at this Comedy Store when there was that shooting last summer?
I did not do the shooting, if that's what you're getting
at. No, but
at.
Do you remember that, Hannes? I don't think they ever even caught that guy. There was somebody
there
walked
was
up to
a
somebody
shooting,
on the
ground. Why would they catch him?
What do you mean, why would they catch him? Because murder took place right in the middle of West Hollywood, in the middle of public. There were like 100 people on the porch.
Not enough.
What happened?
Yeah.
It was a hit.
You weren't there. You could have been there in a minute.
I may have been there. It was just a hit. Someone wanted someone gone and walked up and shot him and then ran and got in a car and it's over.
It is amazing that with all the cameras in the world today that
they weren't there that. No... The cameras are there now.
Are you
I'm just
serious?
Talking about cell phones.
There were
and stuff.
Truly no cameras there on the, and now there are.
Not at the time, but now the Comedy Store's stacked out.
Shit, man.
There might be 36 cameras in there. You can't even get a hand job at the Comedy Store now without someone seeing.
Well, I wouldn't go for that.
Takes the fun out of doing comedy.
Yeah.
Do you think the Comedy Store is haunted?
I've had some sets that felt that way.
No, but really upstairs, like the green room and stuff, because it is really weird. Do you think that?
Everything's haunted if you want to believe it is.
I knew you were going to say that.
You know what?
That I knew you were going to say that.
Is the best haunting line I've ever heard in my life. Everything is haunted if you want it to be. If you believe it is. Yep. Yeah.
But I really think the Comedy Store is.
That made my whole day right there.
Nice.
That
Hannes
sentence
nice.
Right there.
We started to love each other.
Right no.
He didn't like me at first.
Because I don't like anybody. Don't take it personally.
I did.
But,
take nothing personally.
It's like, it's like if you believe in ghosts, there couldn't be a ghost here. Or think of any apartment building built in 1950.
Yeah.
Do you think the odds, what are the odds that somebody didn't die in your apartment
exactly.
in the past 70 years?
Oh, Hannes.
Somebody died in your apartment,
you
or at the very least the apartment
that?
Next door. No, but it's just a building.
The guy next to me did die. He was dead in there for 5 days, and they just found his body like 4 weeks ago.
That place is haunted.
And there's axe marks in the door where the fire department had to knock down the door. He was dead. And you know what was happening during that weekend that he was laying in there dead for 5 days?
Yeah.
I was having my daughter's slumber party next door.
I think you buried
guy.
The lead on the Comedy Store.
You
Your apartment is a
that?
Horror show.
I agree. We should be talking about that room.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, you guys. We got to wrap this up. I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Maria Spertolozzi. And Sean Merrick and Roddy Swearingen. And of course, on behalf of our storyteller, Kirk Fox.
Storyteller, man, I hate the title.
You did a great job.
Well,
Kirk Fox.
I was present.
And on behalf of John Thomas Griffith, you know, that's the guy, Hannes, who wrote our theme song, Follow Me.
I have no idea who that is.
And on behalf of you, Hannes, my dear
I have no idea who I am.
My dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it the story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.